Jared is one of our own. It's been a blessing to see him go off to Bible college and the Lord take his life and take that life and call it to the mission field. And it's exciting to see him and his wife start Debutation. And preacher told us this morning that Jared's preaching tonight, and we're so excited. We were so excited to have him preach tonight, and I'm looking forward to it. I told him that I hurried through the announcements so I could give him about an hour and 7 minutes of preaching time. And he said, you might see the sun when I get done. So I don't know if that means the dawn or what. So, but it is such a blessing to have Jared bring the message tonight. He has been a bus captain for, I'd say, three, four years here at the church, and has done a fantastic job there in the Wadsika, St. Anne, Rome Park, Sun River Terrace, and any other cities that he can gather up on his way into church. But he's done a fabulous job with those young people, and he's got a heart for people, and I believe that's why the Lord called him. And so it's a blessing to have him come. Before he comes and brings the message, we're going to go ahead and have our special tonight. Who is up here? All right, ladies, if you come and bring the special, then Brother Jared, it's all yours, all right?
Christ who gives me strength. All right. Well, thanks very much for the opportunity to come up here and preach. It really is a blessing. I got the call this morning at about 7 o'clock. I had just woke up, so when preacher asked, you know, did I wake you up, I could honestly say no. But so I got the call this morning, and he asked if I could preach tonight. And, well, at first I was like, no, but no. No, it really is an honor to come, and it's really a blessing to, when we're going out in deputation and calling pastors, to be able to say, from Faith Baptist Church, and everybody knows and respects this church, and it really is a good name to be coming from. Preacher has to say how deputation was going, so it's going good. We're at 12 meetings lined up so far, starting mostly in the fall. So it's been a process. It's calling pastors, and you usually have to call 3 or 4 or 5 times before you can actually talk to the pastor instead of just the secretary or one of the secretaries. But so we've been lining up meetings. Right now, our goal is as soon as I'm still working full-time job, and we're doing like part-time deputation going out on weekends. So our goal is to be able to have enough money to, of course, go out full-time deputation, and we're working for the fall. I got, like I said, a lot of meetings lined up, so either my job's going to have to give me a lot of time off, or we'll be full-time in the fall. So that's where we're at right now. Thank you. Also, I haven't got a chance to say personally thanks for taking us on for support and being our sending church. It really is a huge blessing, and it's great encouragement. I made my wife cry when she saw our name up on the plaque back here. That's really important, and that's really something. It's something very, very nice to have going out to be a missionary. My sermon today is from the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter number 17. Let me get up my notes before I start preaching another message. First Samuel chapter number 17. This is very, very familiar passage. It's a very familiar story in the Bible. And I was just reading this through my morning devotions and came across this old familiar story, but this verse stuck out to me. And go ahead and begin reading 1 Samuel chapter number 17 and verse number 48. Says here, this is talking about David and Goliath. Everybody knows the story, but this verse really spoke to me. It says, "And it came to pass, when the Philistine arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine." I see this story when David's coming up against Goliath, this huge giant in his life, and this major thing to be scared of. He had enough courage, he had enough strength to run at Goliath. He wasn't running away. He ran at Goliath. He wasn't coming up timidly. He had enough courage to run. And so the lesson is, the sermon tonight is, why did he run? Why did he run? Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for tonight. Thank you for this church, Lord. I pray that you would just please do. Be with us tonight. Bless me. Give me the words to say. I pray that it can just be an encouragement and a help to everybody here tonight. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know if you know this. Whenever preacher finishes his prayer, he always opens up into this gorgeous illustration or something that you can see he's always prepared, and it's always perfect. Whenever I finish my prayer, the first thing that comes to mind is, So, anyways. So, still working on that. All right, so. Anyways, to get into the lesson before I just stand up here and laugh all night. This is a lesson where David is just, he's a kid. He's probably about 17 years old, and he's coming out against Goliath. Goliath is, he's a huge giant that he's probably been trained since he was just a small kid how to fight. And, you know, David doesn't know any of that, but he has enough courage. He has enough strength to run at Goliath. So, I just want to go through the story here. This is doubtless something he was afraid of. I mean, I think anybody would be afraid of a Goliath coming at him. He was huge. The Bible says Let me read it before I misquote it. Okay, now I'm going to not be able to find it. It says here, and there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. It goes through here. I'm not going to read through the whole thing. It goes through 6 cubits and a span is, I looked it up. I tried to find an accurate reading. I mean, there was everywhere from 18 feet till, you know, he was hardly a giant at all. But that's about 9 feet tall is about the average we got. About 9 feet, 6 inches tall. He was huge. He was big and tall for one thing. But then also he had so much armor on him. He was covered with, he had all the shields and everything on his body. He was covered from head to toe. He had the helmet on. He was very well fortified against anything that was going to come against him. He had a huge spear that was really, really heavy that probably only he could use. He had a huge sword. This guy, he was good. He was a very good fighter. He was their champion fighter. And this was something definitely you could be afraid of. And also the men of Israel, they were scared of him. And verse number 24, it says here, all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were sore afraid. And verse number 16, it says, and the Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. For 40 days, this giant came out and challenged the people of Israel and said, you know, you come on down here and fight me. You can't beat me. Your God's nothing. He can't beat me. And for 40 days, every single one of the trained fighters in Israel, I mean, these are the warriors. These are the ones that everybody looks up to. They're so scared of them. They're running. They're hiding. They're staying in their tents. I mean, they're already in their protected environment. They're already in their camp. But they're so scared of him, they're trying to stay in their tents. They're trying to stay as far away from him as they can. This is something to definitely be afraid of. But I see David had enough courage to run at it. And first thing I see that David did through the story was he was careful. He was careful. It says in verse number 17. Now, Jesse had 8 sons, and his 3 oldest sons went out, and they were in the army. And they were fighting against the Philistines. And it says here, Jesse is the youngest one. David is the youngest one. And it says in verse number 17, and Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn and these 10 loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren. And then in verse number 20, it says, and David rose up early in the morning and left his sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him. First thing I see was he was obedient. He was immediately obedient. Now, kids, this is talking, I mean, just like anything, if you want to be strong enough to be able to kill a giant, and everybody does, the first thing David did before he picked up the stone, before he got the sling, anything, I see he was obedient. When his dad told him to do something, he did it. He did it immediately. He said he rose up early in the morning. As soon as he could, the first light, he was out there ready to do what his dad had told him to do. I see the first thing, when he was being careful, he was obedient. He was obedient immediately. And then in the same verse, it says, David rose up early in the morning and left the sheep with the keeper. And then we'll jump down to verse number 22. It says, this is after David has come. Now he's there at the battle. And it says, and David left his carriage in the hands of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army. Now, David, before he's going, before he's going to leave and do what his dad told him to do and see his brothers, who he probably hasn't seen in at least 40 days, probably a couple months. And I'm sure he's really excited to do that. But before he does, he's careful enough, he finds someone to take care of his sheep. You know, and they're just a bunch of dumb sheep. Now, he's the shepherd. He's the one that takes care of them. And I'm sure he could have gone a day without taking care of them. You know, they didn't need to go out to pasture or get food or whatever. But he was careful enough that he had someone there to take care of the sheep. He made sure that his job was taken care of. It was covered. And then, again, when he's about to run into the camp, before he did that, the Bible is very careful to say he left his carriage in the hand of a keeper. He made sure that it was taken care of. I see David was a very, very careful. He was a very careful person. Before God was going to use him, He was very careful, and he made sure he did the little things. Sometimes it's the little things that are going to trip us up. Sometimes it can be something so small that, you know, we think, oh, it's unimportant. It's, you know, I read my Bible yesterday. I don't have to do it today. I prayed yesterday. I don't have to do it today. Just missing, just a little bit. It's not going to be a big deal. I see, if David was going to be able to kill Goliath, he was careful. Before he could do anything, he was very careful. He was a very careful person. Be careful with the little things. Be a careful person. Watch out for those little things that are going to trip you up. It can be just something so simple that you think, oh, it can go for a little while without fixing. I don't have to take care of that right now. This little sin that's in my heart or whatever, it's okay for now. I'll take care of it sometime. You know what? That's not how you should be. You should be taking care of the little things when they're still little. It's like mowing the lawn or mowing grass. I started mowing grass when I was probably like 8 years old because Marty, my older brother, he didn't want to mow the lawn. So he saw me as an opportunity to get out mowing some of the lawn. So, you know, I'm mowing the lawn with the pushing the lawnmower way up here. Anyways, but it's like when you're mowing the lawn and you're starting, you want to keep the straight lines. And if you just get off just a little bit, it seems so small. You know, just this little itty bitty strip when it starts out. But you keep going like that, you're getting way off. Be careful. When something is little, that's the time to fix it. When something seems small, when it seems like it's not a big deal, when it seems like, you know, it's just a chapter of the Bible, that's when you need to do it. That's when you need to take care of it and be careful with the little things. Then I see, secondly, he saw the cause. He saw the cause. He's run into the camp. And he's there, and while he's there, and I'm sure he's talking with his brothers, out comes Goliath. And just like the men have done for the last 40 days, they go and they run and they're hiding in their tents. They're all scared. And Goliath is coming out there and he's saying stuff against Israel. He's saying stuff against God. And he's looking out. And every other person out there, every trained soldier, every good person, they don't see what's really happening there. All they see is Goliath. All they see is how big he is, how strong he is, how trained he is. That's what they're seeing. But you know what? David, when he looked out, says in verse number 29, he says, and David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause? He's saying, you know what? There's a reason for me to be here. There's a reason that this particular time, right now, God wanted me here. God wanted me here right now. No matter how big the giant is, no matter how scary it looks, God wanted me here, there right then. He looked out, he saw the cause. He saw God, why God had them there. He saw something that every other person out there didn't. He saw that God wanted him there for another reason. He saw the bigger picture. You know what? Looking out, and yes, Goliath looks huge. He looks big. But David looked up, he saw that there was a reason. That it wasn't just this one incident in his life. It's not just this thing, this Goliath. But he saw the bigger picture. That there was a reason God had him here. God has a reason for every single thing he's going to put us through. And it's not always going to be fun. Sometimes it's going to look like it's this huge Goliath. It's this huge giant in our life that how can we possibly get over? How are we going to get past this crazy thing that's going to try to stop us? But you know what? We should be able to look past that thing that's staring us down in the face, that's looking, making us scared, and look past and see God has a reason for it. God has a reason to put us in every situation that he's putting us through. And then the third thing I see is he'd been there before. Now, David, he started saying, you know what? Someone needs to do something about this. And Goliath is coming out here, and he's not just saying bad stuff about Israel and saying, no, I can beat anybody who's sending out. He's blaspheming God. He's saying stuff against the God of heaven, against my God. And he's saying something needs to be done. And he's saying, if no one else is going to do it, then I'm going to. And that started spreading. You know, he said it to one person, they blew him off. He said it to someone else, they probably blew him off. Well, you know what? I started spreading. Said, hey, you know, that little shepherd over here, that little kid, he wants to go out there and fight Goliath. He's saying that, you know what, that he has to be out here and that it's not going to be him fighting anyway. It's going to be God fighting. He's out here saying he's going to go down and fight Goliath. And it's spreading. Finally, he gets up to the king. And King Saul hears about it. Now, this is a big deal because it's not just if he goes out there and he gets killed, you know, they lose another Israelite. It's if he goes out there and he gets killed, then Israel is going to have to serve the Philistines. It's a major thing. It's not just something to, oh, you know, just let that shepherd boy go. This is something very important. So Saul says, all right, come on in, brings him into his office. And he starts talking to him and says, okay, what makes you think that you, a 17-year-old kid, shepherd boy, no training before in your life with how to fight, you know, anything, let alone a giant, can go out there and fight this Goliath? Saying, what are you thinking? And David told him, you know what, I've been here before. It says in verse number 34, it says, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And they went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. It says, verse number 36, thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. He said, you know what, Saul? I'll tell you why I can go out there and fight him. I've done this before. He said, I was just taking care of the sheep. I was just doing what I'm supposed to do, what I do every single day. And there came a lion out from the woods or whatever and took one of the sheep. And he took it and he's running away with it. Now, if I'm watching sheep, I don't care how important they are to me. If a lion's coming out and taking the sheep, I'm running the other way. I'm going to get out of Dodge. But you know what? He went up. He had the courage to go after that lion. And it says he took him by his beard and slew him, smote him and slew him, killed the lion and the bear, same way. And he said, I've been here before. This has happened before. I can get past this. He'd seen a scary enemy before. He'd seen something to definitely be afraid of before. Sometimes God's going to put us through something just so that the next time it comes up, we'll have been there. We already know, you know what? We've already conquered this lion. We've already conquered this bear. We're ready for the giant. There's something like that God's just going to put us through just so that we'll be ready for the next time. When I was in college, Marianne, my little sister, her car, she had a 91 Toyota Celica. That car broke down, seemed like every day. And, you know, me being the good big brother, even with full-time job and, you know, full-time college and everything else, when she'd call me at 2:00 in the morning and say, hey, my car's broke down, of course, I'm going to go out and try to fix it. So that's when I would do that. And it was definitely a pain. It was definitely not fun to have to work on this car all the time and try to fix it all the time. But you know what? God put me through that so that now when a car problem comes up, I know how to fix it. I've seen that broken before. I've seen that whatever fluid going out of the car before where it shouldn't be going. But it wasn't fun at the time. It didn't seem at all good at the time. But you know what? God put me through that so that I can look back and say, I've been here before. I've seen this problem before. But I see before David was going to go out and fight Goliath, he remembered what God got him through last time. He looked back and saw the victories in his life before he was going to go out and fight Goliath. So this is what he explained to Saul. And he said this to Saul. And Saul said, okay, well, when you're going to go out there, you know, I know you fought the lion. I know you fought the bear before, but you got to convince me. How will I know? Verse number 36, it says, and thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be as one of them, seeing as he has defied the living God. He said, you know what? I'm not going to, I will be going out there and I'm going to be fighting Goliath, but I'm not going to be the one winning the battle. He knew who the true victor would be. Fourth thing I see, he knew who the true victor would be. Verse number 37 says, David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of the Philistine. He said, you know what? I know I'm going to be God's tool. And he's excited to be God's tool. He's willing to be God's tool. But he knew who the one doing the fighting is going to be. He knew if he went out there by himself, he had nothing. He couldn't do anything by himself, but he knew that God had done it the last time. He knew that God had delivered him from the lion, from the bear the last time, and he knew it was going to be that same God that was going to do it this time. He knew who the true victor was going to be. And so David went down to face Goliath. And they go down, and apparently they do like a trash talking to each other before they fight. It's kind of funny. But so Goliath said, you know, you're just a little boy. I'll take care of you and I'll kill you and I'll let the fowls of the air come and eat you. And just tore him apart. Well, David looked up at Goliath, and he looked up at Goliath. He's a big guy. And it says here in verse number 45, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. He's saying, you know what? You're coming out at me. And yeah, you look scary. You've got everything you need to kill me. You got your sword. You got your spear. You got your shield. You look really, really strong. But it says here, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of the hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hands, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air. He said, didn't finish the verse here. And to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. He's saying, you know what? You're coming out, you're looking pretty strong, but I got something so much stronger. He said, yes, you may have every kind of protection you have in the world to, if I'm going to try to hit you or whatever, but I'm coming out and I have something so much stronger. I have God on my side. And because you defied, you said everything bad against the God, my God, the true God, that is why he's going to deliver you to my hands. That's what David said. He knew who the true victor was going to be. When we're faced with a giant in our life, and everybody's going to get them. Maybe not right now. Maybe there's one coming up. But every single one of us is going to have something that looks huge. And we can't beat it on our own. There's nothing that we can do. It's something so much stronger than us. Just like Goliath was so much stronger than David. We can't do it on our own. But if we can look past it and say, you know what, it doesn't matter how big this is. It doesn't matter how strong it looks. If God is on our side, there's nothing that can stand in our way. Romans 8:31. I'm going to turn to it because last time I misquoted it and someone corrected me. Romans 8:31 says, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? If God's on our side, it doesn't matter how big the giant is. It doesn't matter how strong it looks, how much protection, how much armor he has, how big his sword is. If God's on our side, there's nothing that can come at us that can take us out. And go ahead and finish the story here. It says in verse number 50. We all know the story. I sang it today on my bus route. Only a boy named David, only a little sling. He went out there and he got those five stones. And when Goliath was coming at him, and he had the sword, and he had everything to kill him, David picked up something he was familiar with. God used something that David was familiar with. David didn't know how to handle a sword. David didn't know how to handle a spear. When Saul tried to put all of his armor on him and everything for that the world can give us to protect us, David said, I can't use this. I don't know any of this at all. God used something that David was familiar with. God's going to be able to have stuff something in our life that he can use with us that we've already tried and tested. We know what we're doing. And David went out there. He got those five stones. He just needed one. And he put it in the sling and he whipped it around. He ran at the Philistine and he let that rock go. And the only spot on this Philistine, I think it was just the perfect size of that rock too, on his forehead. Bible says that that rock went and it caught that perfect spot through his helmet. And it sunk into his forehead, knocked him out cold. Right there, that's the God that we serve. That's nothing that David could do. That's God. When we're faced with a tough time, we should look past what is facing us down. We'll look so scary and look and see that God's there. And if God's on our side, it doesn't matter how big the giant is. Let's go ahead and pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for today. Thank you for the sermon, Lord. I pray that you just please do bless it, help it to be an encouragement. And just please do use it, Lord. And if someone's facing a Goliath right now, if someone has a giant in their life right now, Lord, I pray that can be a blessing. But, Lord, if there's some coming up, I pray that you would just please do bring this to remembrance, Lord, and just help bless, Lord. I pray that you would use the message in a mighty way, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.